Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Man's Voice on Sunday, March the 6th, 2022. Our usual host, David Shorter, is tied up doing some work-related functions, so he's asked me to pitch in. But, we usually have pretty good success, just talking out loud and, sharing our thoughts. So maybe we should follow that that prescription for tonight, but we do have a lot to talk about. But I did want to start it off. There's obviously a lot going on with the world in Ukraine and Russia right now. We're living in very, very turbulent times. Putin, this is all the latest that I've heard. Putin says that Ukraine may be losing its statehood, and I've heard reactions on both sides, what gives him the right to say that. Of course, we've got the U.S. and the Western nations. President Zelensky has pleaded and has requested for a no-fly zone over Ukraine. So there's, I've heard different opinions on that too. But of course, we know that the U.S. and the Western alliance has so far rejected that request. And we've got the problem, the huge problem with the refugees. I think it's over 1.5 million so far and growing by the minute. And the scary part, gentlemen, is that that I've heard several people say that the worst is probably yet to come. There's been attacks on civilians, attack on a nuclear power plant, the threat of using nuclear power, which we all know would be probably the beginning of the end of the world as we know it. Putin cracking down on free speech, calling the sanctions that the West has put on Russia, he's saying that that's basically a declaration of war. And then, this was bizarre, but I don't know if you all saw this, but he was speaking to a group of Aeroflot, which is the Russian national airline flight attendants. I don't know the details of that, but I'm sure Darius, if he's on, has read up on that. I just want to find out what you all think about what's going on, what you see as the fallout of this war around the world, what your thoughts are on how our administration is handling everything so far, if you think the U.S. should get further engaged and to what degree. So why don't we start it off with Michael. I know Michael's on for sure.
Hey, okay, I will. Hey, Ron, how you doing, man? Glad to have you hosting today, and welcome to everybody listening to the show. We're in some scary times right now in regards to what's going on in Ukraine with Russia invading. I just want to say this real quick. I saw something that just made my heart melt and just broke my heart, Ron. I saw a hospital for cancer babies in Ukraine. Baby, little children who were born with cancer were hiding in the basement because the hospital was being shelled, bombarded by rockets. And here these poor children are who are struggling for their life battling cancer. Now they got to go run into the basement of the hospital and hide, hopefully they want to, with the hopes of not being killed by a bomb. So that just broke my heart when I saw it. It just made the whole situation real to me about what those poor people are dealing with over there in Ukraine. So my heart is with the Ukrainian people. I don't see an end to this, though, Ron. 1.5 million refugees have already fled that country, and Vladimir Putin said the worst is yet to come. He's threatening a nuclear war. He's already declared, he said that America and any other country that intervenes, tries to help in any way, impose sanctions on him. He's already imposed sanctions on him. he said those sanctions, in his opinion, are a declaration of war. So it kind of seems like he's looking for a reason to declare war on NATO and America. So I don't see an off-ramp here. I think Putin is going to have to be, I said it last week, and I'll say it again. They're going to have a regime change in Russia. And Senator Lindsey Graham got in a lot of trouble here in America for saying that out loud. He said they're going to have to take Putin out. And unfortunately, that is the only solution at this point. They're going to have to take Putin out. And that's not going to be easy. Now, I hope we got a bunch of James Bond, Rambo-type people who got targets on him or penetrated his inner circle and are able to take him out. But otherwise, I think he's going to drop a nuclear bomb. Where? I don't know, but I think he's going to fire off a nuclear bomb.
And how do you feel about the way the U.S. has handled this so far, and Biden in particular, and the Western nations? Do you think we've done enough? Do you think there's more to be done? What are your feelings on that?
I think Joe Biden's done an excellent job. I think the Western nations have handled this the best they can. Thank God Donald Trump is not the president, because Donald Trump would not have imposed any sanctions on Vladimir Putin at all. And I know people, especially my man from Atlanta, my man Darius, always says, well, if Trump would have been there, it would have been different. I think if Trump would have been there, Vladimir Putin would have caused more damage. Because I know Donald Trump would not have imposed any sanctions whatsoever on the United States. And I know everybody's saying they want NATO and the United States to implement a no-fly zone over Ukraine, but we can't do that. If we implement a no-fly zone over Ukraine, I mean, we would have to shoot down Russian planes. And that would definitely be a declaration of war. So to answer your question, I think America and the Western allies have done the best they can do under the circumstances.
You know, Michael, I thought the same thing, and then I was watching Meet the Press just a little while ago because I missed it this morning, and I saw on there former UN Ambassador Nikki Haley, and she was, of course, making the case that this would have never happened under Trump, and, you know, she was talking about the oil and all that. So I know our Republican panelists, Darius and Bruce, both have different feelings about this. Is either one of them on? Darius, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
So am I.
What are your thoughts?
Somebody needs to mute their phone because there's a lot of static in the background.
Yeah, there's a lot of static.
But, you know, when I listen to Michael, man, I feel like sometimes talking into like a brick wall, or I'm being muted or whatever. You know, we keep going back to this wouldn't have been worse under Trump. And that just seems to always be the Biden motto. It's like, yeah, even though it didn't happen when Trump got in, it would have been worse. But it was nothing. It was totally prevented while Trump was in office. So to say it would have been worse is crazy to me. It's like you saw that we had those 4 years where no country even tried us while Trump was in office. The minute Biden gets in office, they try him in Afghanistan. The Taliban ran him out with his tail tucked out of Afghanistan, and Putin tried him. Trump had already imposed sanctions, guys. I hate saying this over and over, but it's like Michael is not getting it. He keeps saying the same thing over and over. He imposed sanctions as soon as he got in the office. So don't say he would not have imposed sanctions. All Biden is doing is re-imposing the sanctions that Trump had already done, which prevented him from doing this kind of stuff. Biden helped enrich Putin by buying all this oil and allowing the European pipeline to be completed, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline to be constructed. He's enriched. He supported Putin's army, his military efforts. He's enriched them. So for Michael to say here that, oh, it would have been worse, is crazy. It's lunacy. Ron, earlier in terms of what you were talking about with the flight attendants, I saw that, and it was so disturbing to me because this guy is really, like, he's psycho. What he's doing is his Russian propaganda. He knows that he's going to put these airlines out of business because most countries have restricted international flights from Russia. And they're rolling out a new fleet of airlines. So he went there to support that and to just show that Russia is strong and everything is okay. And he surrounds himself with these pretty girls that are smiling to put forth this propaganda that we're not hurt by any of these sanctions. But in addition to that, you guys were talking about NATO. I do want to give Michael credit for something. And earlier he said, about a month ago or so, he said that the reason that one of the main reasons Putin was doing it because he did not want NATO, he didn't want the Ukraine to join NATO. And that, from doing some reading or whatever, I found out that that probably was the main trigger point of why he's doing this. It's like Russia feels like, even though they never invaded them, he always wanted to because he felt like Ukraine is a part of them. And if they join NATO, that would be the equivalent of Canada or Cuba putting missiles, the Soviets putting missiles in Cuba. You know, it borders them, and it creates, in his mind, a hostile atmosphere. So that's his main reason for going forward. I just don't think he's crazy enough to attack any NATO-allied country because, you know, that would mean certain world war. And, you know, he's not going to fight the world. He doesn't have the resources or the budget to fight the entire world if he attacks NATO.
Yeah, that's a good point, Darius. I heard just a while ago that the Western nations together have, I think, five times more, I forget if it was missiles or tanks or something, but we outnumber the Russians in terms of both troops and military equipment from what I hear. I mean, in the news. So, Don, what are you thinking about all of this?
Ron, thank you very much. You sound good, man. You sound like a reporter that is really prepared.
Thank you.
Well, you know, you are so right. And what I've heard thus far is so on target. Gentlemen, I'm so proud of you because for once I see a scene, something in reality as to what it really is. We're in a dangerous moment right now. I mean a dangerous moment. The only other moment I can remember equivalent to this was when Khrushchev had the missiles in Cuba and Kennedy was faced with making major decisions and Khrushchev backed down. The difference is I don't think this Putin guy has the sense to back down. I think it's going to have to be a Bin Laden case. Because we're facing a guy that has nothing to lose. And that's the way he thinks. Our government is going to be under attack, gentlemen. And the banking industry is already under attack because the credit card processing companies Visa and MasterCard have already pulled out, so the financial exchange is being troubled. I think the next move that we can expect this week, and I hate to be a prognosticator or a predictor, but I think Putin will implement cyber war. Cyber war is his next move, and that's going to be devastating for us because we've never fought a cyber war before, but they are very skilled in that country in cyber attacks. We can't deal with a no-fly zone because if we did that, it would be World War III. I heard someone say it's got to be something like Bin Laden. I hate to use that as an example, but I heard that same report, Ron, this morning. I don't know what to say or what to do. More will be revealed. Let me put it that way.
I think you're right on, Don, with everything you said, and the cyber attacks. I mean, I've heard people, which it may be overreacting, but I've heard people saying, oh, go to the bank and take out cash and make sure you've got cash on you just in case, and, you know, stock up on food. And so, you know, we just ended 2021, and we thought we were turning the corner with COVID and the pandemic, and we were all hoping 2022 was going to be, you know, an upward mobile year, and here we are on the verge of, and some people say we're already in World War III. I wonder what you all think, and I don't know if Bruce is on, but if he is, Bruce, if you can answer that, what do you think would happen if Vladimir Putin was taken out, as Lindsey Graham suggested happen, or, you know, some people are saying that's what should happen? Bruce, are you on?
Well, thank you, Ryan. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me? Okay. I, too, agree with a lot of what's been said from each one of our panelists thus far. So we're all doing our homework. Let me put a couple more layers on this, where I will push back a little bit on all of this and myself. I don't think Putin is doing a fantastic job, only from the basis of what we can see in the public. Maybe he is behind the scenes, but what I can judge and see. For this reason, I think there's a number of things we can do financially and, for lack of another term, politically, to put the screws down on Putin. One would be, for the life of me, and this would actually also benefit Biden's way of doing things. Temporarily, you've heard this, he comes out and says, guys and gals of America, we're going to open up all our reserves. I mean, we're going to open up all our resources. We're going to pump natural gas, 45% cleaner than Russia's and most people. So that, to some degree, supports the green. We're going to open up our petroleum fields. We're going to put the pressure on the Russian president, because one of the biggest things that's going to hurt him is his ability to generate funds, money. More and more countries throughout the globe now have said we're not buying petroleum from Russia anymore, and even it's starting to become a political hot rail, where even if their mandate isn't that, we've got major companies and countries saying we're not touching anything from Russia. So we have to find more ways to effectively push those buttons on him. I think that would hurt him to a great deal. We also have a significant number of people starting to come out from behind their hiding places in support of their own Russian people and the parts of the Russian government that don't agree with what Putin's doing. And you guys have all heard more and more, Putin seems to be isolated. He's a one-man show. Granted, he's the dictator. But there's other things going on that we have intelligent enough people and staff within the U.S. government that knows how to turn those screws. And also from the standpoint of the, I'm not sure who brought it up, but on the war plane, you've heard over and over real recently, and it sounds like the U.S. is even starting to favor this, that the Russian jets from Poland be given to the Ukraine. They already know how to fly them. They have the pilots. And the U.S. Replenishes their fighter supply in some date and proper time with American fighters. There's another way to put pressure on it. And if we're going to stand here and always debate every move, well, Putin might think that's an act of war and he's going to do this and that. You know what, gentlemen? We don't know what he's thinking right now, and anything we do can be considered an act of war. I agree we don't want to put boots on the ground to the extent of all those concerns, but there are so many other things we should have already started, should already be doing, should already be in support of to, as I say, put more and more pressure on Putin and more freedom for the Russian people to express their discontent with Putin. That will ultimately drive him out of office. And if, I think Don said, put him under, it doesn't mean someone has to pull a trigger. It means that there has to be enough pressure and enough whatever you want to call it to run him out of office or take him, arrest him, or whatever the case may be. We do not have to do that, but we should be leading the way in a number of these things, Ron, that we're still not really doing. We're, you still get the feeling by a lot of people, and I've talked to people, matter of fact, today, that still feel we're doing too much sideline coaching and not enough things in the right way to make this, facilitate this change. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good observation, Bruce. I have, however, heard that that Putin was kind of shocked that, you know, he thought that we as a country, the U.S., and our alliances, you know, the Western countries were maybe not as united or more divided than we actually are, because, you know, it seems you know, this is becoming less and less of a divisive issue amongst Americans. I mean, I know there's still disagreements about, you know, complete banning of the oil coming in from Russia and all that. But I think more and more people are coming together in the middle ground against Russia and the things that we could do together. I'm wondering how you all feel, and if one of the younger guys, I don't know if Soil is on, I know Jeremiah is on, or Spencer, but how do you guys feel, what do you think, you know, we've all heard about the propaganda in Russia and, you know, coming down on the free press and all that, and so they're only getting one side of the story, but do you think if Putin was gone and he's out of the picture, do you think the majority of Russians would be more comfortable with the Western ways, or do you think they would continue, you know, being, I don't know, more inclined to be part of a autocracy? Soel, are you on?
Yeah, I'm here. Personally, I think getting rid of Vladimir Putin isn't a good idea. I mean, what he's doing is atrocious, but what we've learned from history is when you get rid of one bad person, another equally, if not more worse person just takes their place. I think we've learned that from Vladimir Lenin. I think we've learned that from, obviously, how Russia is, like, after Lenin, it just got worse, and like every single person, it was just worse. I think like the least most horrible Russian leader is probably Gorbachev. And I think that's it. But I just think it's just going to get worse. I think that people are aware of what's going on. But Russia's been like that since like 1913. This is multiple generations that have grown up living like this. With Stalin and all of them, it's just not going to really change. It's going to take a lot to change that country.
Yeah. Spencer, you have anything to add, to comment on this?
I don't have any comment.
I know Spencer's on.
No, I don't have any comment.
What about Jeremiah? Are you on? I want to make sure we get everybody's thoughts on this. Is Jeremiah on? Nope, no Jeremiah. All right, well, this has taken almost half of the show, so I apologize it's taken this long, but I have to admit I haven't been in tune with the news today as I usually try to be on the weekends, so I really don't know what else is going on in the world except for this whole Ukraine and Russia thing. So if anybody else has any topics, you know, maybe we'll do it that way and go around the table and see what else anybody would like to bring up.
Before you go any further, I'd like to ask one question. Normally we would have a mediator or a person that could bridge the gap in this issue that we're facing worldwide. Does anybody see a mediator out there that could mediate both sides of the fence and bring this to a conclusion?
I think
I
our only hope in that regard, Don, I don't see one either, but if there is one, it would be the president of China. If there's anybody, it would definitely be the president of China. Not saying that he can do it, but I think that's our only hope for somebody to talk some sense into Vladimir Putin, which I don't think anyone can talk sense into Vladimir Putin. But I think our only hope would be President Xi of China. But I wanted to say one thing real quick, Ron, in regards to what Soel said, in regards to the most, I think he said Gorbachev was the worst ever. Gorbachev was a horrible man, but honestly, Putin, in my opinion, is 10 times worse than Gorbachev, in my personal opinion. What Putin is doing, Gorbachev didn't go this far. Yeah, he never took us to the brink of nuclear war to this point. And I want to say this to Darius and all the Republicans. I've done a lot of research on you guys saying that it's weakness in President Biden is why Vladimir Putin is doing this. The reason Vladimir Putin is doing this, he does see weakness in the United States. Absolutely right, guys. But he sees weakness because of what happened on January the 6th. He saw January the 6th and said, oh, wow, those guys are weak over there. A bunch of hillbillies can just raid their capital? They have no power against me. There's no way a bunch of hillbillies are going to run up in the Kremlin the way those hillbillies ran up in. So that just shows weakness on the part of the United States. Is Donald Trump and Donald Trump's supporters is the reason America looks weak right now.
Are you kidding me? Oh, man.
I knew this was going to start World War III.
Unbelievable. I can't believe you said that. You think for
one minute that...
Here it comes. Here's part of it anyway. You think for 1 minute Putin took any credence other than I would agree with you on the aspect that they see the U.S. doing things that he just shakes his head at, but don't give any big credit to something like that where Putin says, oh, this is it. This is the U.S. is falling apart, blah, blah, blah. I can't believe you even think that. Because from the standpoint of he will do anything at any cost. You've already pointed that out. And the only – you think one incident like that is serious? I'm not saying it wasn't serious and it wasn't a good thing. It was not. But do you think that had that much sway? You got to be kidding. He almost blew that off as, well, that's America in its decline. But he didn't see that as any great event that opened the gates of him mentally thinking, now's the time. Not at all. He's been planning this for a long time, and he was waiting for the opportunity presidency-wise and management-wise to find a place to put in. As Darius said earlier, whether you like it or not, whether you like Trump or not, nothing like this happened under him. And don't tell me it's just a timing thing that was building. This could have easily happened under President Trump or another president, not just Biden. So the standpoint of I don't think one event could ever be that important in Putin's mind. It's a litany of things and a progression of things that he finally decides now's the time to move. And like I said, something like January 6th is as heinous as it was, wasn't a trigger point. That was him.
You know, gentlemen, we've got a number, I'd say about 6 to 10 Ozarks that are partners or friends of Putin. And they're losing ships and financial gain. And do you think that they have the relationship with Putin to influence him to back down because they're being attacked and losses themselves?
That could be a yes or a no based on how fearful they are of Putin, how much of a influence he has over them. It could easily be a yes if he doesn't have that much power, but it could easily be a no if they're scared to death to do anything to cross this man?
The answer is no, Don. And the reason the answer is no is because Joe Biden will not cut off the spigot of money that's going to those Russian oligarchs every day. I read something about this when the French took one of the yachts. I was like, oh, man, they're good for them. They're showing force. They're closing their bank accounts. They're taking money. You know, this looks good. And then I looked at the company that this oligarch ran, the oil company. He gets $25 billion a day in oil money, a day. I'm not saying he gets it personally, but his company does. Do you think at all he's concerned about them seizing a yacht? He could buy another one tomorrow if he wanted to. So until you cut off this, you can impose any kind of sanctions you want. Until you cut off that spigot of oil, which is their major income, their major resource, until you do that, and their swift ability to do swift transactions, which Joe Biden refuses to do that also. Until you do those two things, nothing that you do will matter because the spigot is still on. The money's still flowing. And the only way you can get these oligarchs to stop supporting Putin is to cut off their money. You got to hit them where it hurts. And what they're doing now, it's all symbolism. It's not hurting these guys at all. They knew this was going to happen. Trust me, they were prepared for it before he even went forward. Because they laid out everything that they were going to do and told them, hey, if you invade Ukraine, this is what we're going to do. So it's not like they're caught off guard. They're not shot. They knew this was going to happen. But the one thing that could change
sanctions,
this whole thing around. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm sorry. You weren't finished.
No, I was just going to repeat. I was just going to reiterate that the one thing that could turn this whole thing around is to open up every single resource we have for energy in this country. Do a Trump style operation on energy. Yep.
Can I pile one more thing on top of that, guys? Did you hear
no,
the
no,
latest
no,
thing
no,
is if the financial, and then I'll shut up because I don't want to intimidate you. The financial institutions of Russia. China has recently said, I just heard this, that they will back the Russian financial system if everybody else shuts them down. Did you hear that? And if that's the case, then really, as Darius said, the only thing left is the energy supply. And even if ours is only the 10% that they say is from Russia, if the other countries aren't buying it and we start supplying it, his price per barrel will plummet. Okay, I'm done.
But the problem
hey, Darius,
is, I mean, and go ahead, Michael.
Okay, I'll be quick, Ron. I'm sorry. I agree with Darius on the fact it is laughable every time I turn on the news and they say, we're going to start taking those oligarchs' yachts. That'll teach them. I'm like, oh, really, guys? You're taking the yachts? Those guys don't give two craps about those yachts. These little babies are dying in hospitals, and you're talking about we're going to take their yachts by punishing them. So I do agree with you, Darius. That is just a political theater.
Yeah, I was just going to say about, you know, shutting off the flow of oil. I mean, we can't. I mean, it's not a unilateral thing that we can do because pretty much all of Western Europe relies on Russian oil. So how are we gonna supply them with all their needs?
We cut off the oil. The reason Biden is hesitant to cut off that oil, the reason he's hesitant, and I do agree we need to cut off that oil, is because right now gas prices are high and inflation is high in America as it is. So if we cut off, and it's only 3%, we only get 3% of our energy from oil from Russia. But that 3% would be catastrophic to our economy right now. It would hurt us more than we're already hurting. And if that happens, then the Republicans are going to point at Joe Biden and say, see, look at him. Gas prices are high because of Joe Biden. So it's like a catch-22 Joe Biden is in right now.
Well, I could say at one point we were a net exporter of energy and could have done even more. So you guys have to also realize that, yeah, even if Biden were to announce Operation Warp Speed and get all of our energy resources opened up and running tomorrow, it will take a while for that oil to come up out of the ground. But you got to remember the markets are based on speculation, you know. So the minute you make that announcement, immediately you're going to see a price decrease in oil, even if it takes a while for it to get there. You're going to see Russia, they don't have to wait until we supply that oil to Europe. But we can supply, I don't know if we can give them all the oil they need, but I know we're in a position in oil, natural gas, and coal. Not only to mention too lumber, because Russia is a major exporter of the, lumber and coal as well. But we're in a position to handle a lot of that shortfall if we would just only drill. We have more resources here in America than they do in Russia. Actually, we just don't want to drill here because of the environmentalists. But if we'd open it up, we could meet that demand, I believe, or a great deal of it. But we don't have to meet all of it, Ron, because the minute they see us doing that, Ron, you'll see Putin change course.
How do you feel about Nancy Pelosi's comment that we should cut off all the oil from Russia? That was interesting to hear.
It was, and that's the other thing I was going to point out. I'm glad you brought that up, is you're starting to see pressure on Biden, even from his own party. I think Nancy Pelosi, though, was just posturing because she knew it was coming. She knew that Biden's not going to do it, but she wants to try to protect her House representatives who are coming up for reelection. But you are seeing some Democrats come out, too, and say, hey, we need to change course here and stop buying Russian oil. So, I'm glad to see that happen.
Yeah,
Ron?
Speaking of changing course. Yeah, go ahead, Bruce.
Just a question to you or anyone else that feels that they want to answer it. Why do you think, and granted, mine's from an independent/Republican point of view, why do you think Biden is so reluctant to just, we'll call the word temporarily, supply the petroleum and natural gas, and as Darius said, coal reserves that could financially drive a stake through the Russian part of supplying it to all of us? What's the reluctance of at least temporarily doing that to get us out of this, hopefully help get us out of this mess, and then say, you know, I being Biden, will go back to the emphasis on Green New Deal and all of that, but we have to do this, and this is our way without putting boots on the ground to help fight Putin. Why is he so reluctant to do that?
I don't know the answer. Maybe somebody else does, but it makes sense to me. You could always revert back to how it was before, but just do this on a temporary basis, like you said. But, I think, and somebody can jump in whenever, but I think it's, once you start off down this road, it's kind of hard to make a U-turn and go back to where you came from, is what I'm thinking. I don't know enough about it. Maybe Don or somebody else does.
Ron, I think it's a public opinion on price. The gas prices would go through the roof. And right now, a lot of people think they're higher than they've ever been, which is absolutely right. But I don't think America could really stomach $7 or $8 a gallon for gasoline right now.
He's terrified of his base, Ron. He's terrified of his base.
What's that?
He's terrified of his base. So what would happen is, okay, he's already polling below 40% now as it is. So he has to hold on to his base. If he were to start drilling, the environmentalists and the liberal extremists and the Green New Dealers would lose their minds. That's what it is.
But what about,
and he cannot,
what
so
about
he,
importing,
he cannot afford to lose their support.
What about importing more from Saudi Arabia?
That's when prices will skyrocket, because if Saudi Arabia knows that they're your primary source, OPEC will immediately raise the cost of oil. So like what Ron said earlier about Americans don't want to see, he's absolutely right. But I disagree with us drilling for oil will do that, because like I said, the markets are speculative. So if we even announce, because you got to remember when Trump came in and he announced that he was going to open up the pipeline and drilling in Antarctica and on federal lands, gas prices, oil prices went down immediately, even though he had put one drill in the ground. Once the world knew that we were going to be energy independent, they lowered their prices immediately. So we can't depend on foreign. What? I'm sorry.
Are you saying that just by announcing that we're going to be oil independent or headed in that direction, the prices will go down, and even if we don't do a thing about it?
No, we have to do it. If they know we're going to do it, and we mean we're going to do it. Like I said, the market is speculative. You'll see immediate decrease in the prices if they know that we're going to start becoming energy independent again.
Okay. Well, I think we've talked enough about Russia. I don't know what else is going on in the world. What's going on, Joel? Do you have anything you'd like to bring up for the group?
Can I come in, please? Can I come in?
Oh, David, I didn't know you were on.
Oh, I've been listening. I'm unable to get there, but I've been listening, and I was listening to the comment about why this didn't happen under Trump, and it wouldn't have happened under Trump. Well, something dawned on me that Trump and Putin were nothing but buddies during this whole time. And as Trump and Putin were buddies, and Trump did not like Biden, and Trump was trying to do his best to destroy Biden, I would think that Trump would be talking to Putin, and I would bet that Trump has an account in Russia, and Putin is filling it up, and they're having phone conversations all the time. So to say that it didn't happen under there, well, that was the reason why, because they were buddies, and he was trying to do it. But now I would say that both of them are doing the best they can to make the United States look as bad as possible under the president that we have.
David, you hit the nail on the head, David. Girls, you know, I asked the question earlier, do we have a mediator out there? I think that Donald Trump is the mediator.
Hey, guys, can I ask you one question, David, please? Let's go and take what you said.
Once again, your questions are always, you know, well, that you don't make mistakes, but let's get this right. Yes, you do. So go ahead.
Yeah, let's get it right.
So what I want to ask you, David, let's say what you're saying is absolutely true, right? Okay, so why is it then, if he's his friend, because it looks to me the opposite. When Obama was in office, he attacked Crimea, right? He took over Crimea, and Obama was caught on a hot mic telling a Russian minister, tell Vladimir, wait until after the elections, I'll have more flexibility. I think you guys all forgot about that. So
no,
he was counseling.
Wait a minute. You jump in on people all the time. So listen to me. What I understand is it was a big platform. It was a big platform, and those are people you talk to say what else is going on. So it wasn't that he was making friends or anything. And you're always on Obama. But anyway, he was getting business done. That's how business is taken care of.
Okay. So I'm not going to even argue that point. Let's just say that you're right. He went in and attacked Georgia and annexed Crimea when Obama was in office. When Trump was in office, Trump immediately placed sanctions. He put the sanctions on Russia. And then after Biden got in, he lifted the sanctions, and then he went into Ukraine. So I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy, but it looks to me like one person is a deterrent and the other people are allowing this stuff to happen. One puts sanctions on and one takes sanctions off. Who's your friend?
Okay, if you and I were buddies and you were in charge of something, I would say, tell me how I can make this happen, but it would put you in a position to make me look good. As president of the United States and you're president of Russia, I'm going to put sanctions on you. Let me know which ones won't hurt you that much, and I'll tell you how to get around them.
That is the craziest thing I ever heard you say, David.
Wow.
There were no sanctions there before.
If there were already sanctions, it would make it look different. But there were no sanctions on him. Trump put the sanctions on him. So why would you do that to your buddy? I don't get
that. I can put on you that won't. What can I do to make myself look good and you? And then I will be with your partner for a long term. It's very simple.
So then, why did Biden take them off then? Why did Biden take the sanctions off then?
Why would he? If he's so tough on Russia, why did he take the sanctions off?
Hey, gentlemen, let's focus on the big picture. For the past 4 years under the past administration and Putin, we saw two individuals at the top of the news cycle controlling the world. That's the move. They want to get back to that. That's the big question right there. That's the big picture.
And, guys, let's not forget that Darius didn't believe that Vladimir Putin was going to even invade Ukraine, okay? And so, Darius, your facts and your arguments hold no weight because, once again, you just said that Vladimir Putin invaded Georgia under Obama. He invaded Georgia under Bush. He invaded Georgia in 2008. So, Darius, your facts hold no weight whatsoever. David is absolutely right. Putin and Trump are best buddies. Of course Putin is lining Trump's bank account right now. So that's why Don has a point. Maybe Trump would be the only person who could be a mediator in all this. But hopefully Trump will be in jail real soon because the Congressional Committee just filed, suggested that the DOJ file charges on him for all the wrong and BS he was doing during the election. So as it stands right now, Donald Trump is an unconvicted felon, the same way Vladimir Putin is an unconvicted war criminal.
Michael.
Yes, Bruce.
Do you think for 1 minute, between you and David and the rest of you that think that Trump and Putin are buddies, you base
yes.
that on the very impartial, and I'm doing that tongue-in-cheek, input you get from the U.S. News Service? All of which did nothing but attack Trump for 4 solid years because it made news, whether it was true or not, and they proved a lot of it was false. You think the two of them were buddies, and yet you hear everybody in the universe, well, the world at least, that the only thing that Putin responds to is force and pressure. So do you think for 1 minute, if you were right, that Putin and Trump were buddies, that he would do that? Not for a minute. Let me finish, then I'll listen. He was scared to death of Trump. Maybe not what he was going to do, but the fact that he was an unknown power, and every move he made, Trump was watching him and his staff, and he didn't know what Trump was going to do to him next. It was fear. It wasn't friendship. Okay, I'm done.
Okay, Bruce, did Trump invite Vladimir Putin to the White House, yes or no, and shake his hand in the White House, yes or no?
Well, if he did, what's the problem with that? Let me answer the question. Remember the old adage, keep your friends close and your enemies closer. He wanted to know what was going on and know as much as he could. The fact that he says that Putin was smart. You guys run with that and say, oh, he was his buddy because he said he was smart. He can be terrible, ruthless, and god-awful, worst leader and still be a smart man. And the fact that he brought him to the White House doesn't mean they're buddies. You guys are grabbing at straws and sewing this together and saying, oh, they're buddies. They're buddies. I don't think that's anywhere close.
The White House is the people's property. Do you know what was said at the White House? Do you understand what was said at the White House, Bruce?
If I heard it, I would understand it. Did you hear all of what was said in the White House?
Nobody.
You didn't hear it. What?
Hey, Bruce,
hey, guys,
that's
the best conversation.
Nobody just jumped in.
Michael,
go ahead.
Bruce,
jump in, guys.
If you look at everything Putin's doing right now, you're okay with him coming to the White House? A guy like
yes.
that who's committing war crimes?
No, I didn't say that. You asked me if he was in the White House, and I said, yeah, I believe he has been in the White House. That's all I did. I acknowledged that. That's it.
Hey, Michael, that was 2008 after Barack Obama got elected, so I just want you to know that you are wrong, sir. It did happen under Barack Obama. Georgia and Crimea happened under
Barack Obama. Took office in January 2009,
when he went in, it happened under Barack Obama. Also, you got one guy that's giving you 250 million barrels of oil a day or whatever,
from one guy, and then you got one guy that puts sanctions on you. I don't know. I can pick my friend from just that scenario alone. But you guys seem to look at it the other way, which is crazy to me. Crazy.
Okay, Darius, Barack Obama took office January 20th, 2009. Russia was invaded in 2008. You're wrong.
Drop the mic.
Thank you.
All we all should be doing is make sure you get a variety of sources before you start making claims on things. I'm very proud of the fact that I try to look at all the newscasts, not just one.
Michael is correct, but he did not take over Georgia or take over or annex Crimea until after Barack Obama was in office. That's when it happened. You can talk about when they invaded. You can say whatever. He took it over while under Barack Obama's watch.
Gentlemen, let's go into this coming week. Let's go into this coming week looking at the solution as to some things that are going to happen this upcoming week as we go into next week's show. Let's look at that.
Okay, I think what's going to happen next time we're on the phone, I think Vladimir Putin is going to attack a NATO ally of ours. I think this time next week, it'll be some sort of attack on a NATO ally of ours, guys.
Why do you think he'll do that, Michael?
Because Vladimir Putin is crazy. I think that's just the answer to that question. He's 72
years
old. That's
probably the only answer that would make,
he's not on
that. Boy, that is. Boy, let's pray you are wrong.
Yeah, he's
72 years old. The next thing we're going to experience, Michael and Bruce, is a cyber attack this week.
I think that's how it started, Don.
On who, Don? A cyber attack on who?
NATO allies, maybe even the United States.
I couldn't agree with you more. I agree. I do agree.
I think Putin's got his hands full with Ukraine right now. I don't think he wants to attack a NATO country or definitely not, not America, but any NATO country. Because like I said, you can't fight the entire world, and that's what would happen. You know, NATO creed is attack one, you attack all. And Putin is crazy, but he knows he can't fight the world. He can barely complete this invasion of Ukraine.
30 countries would be after him.
He's got China in his back pocket, though.
True.
Yeah, but Darius, you don't think that he's just a 72-year-old man who's looking at it and he's only got a few years left on this earth, so he's like, I'm going to go out with a bang? You don't think he's going at it from that angle?
He's definitely maniacal, but I don't think he doesn't know when he's going to die, and I don't think he's suicidal, because that's what will happen. You know, you got over 30 countries that will align themselves, that are allies, that would come after him. He can't fight 30 countries. It's just not possible. And, you know, unless he wants to die, and he wants that to be his legacy, then no, he will not attack any NATO country.
Hey, so what do you think from a young man's perspective?
About everything? Like,
yeah, do you think he's going to attack?
Exactly.
He's 72 years old. Do you think he's going to set it off?
Well, I think Vladimir Putin's like, I don't think he's 72. I think he's like 69 or 70, but people do live a long time now. I mean, if he theoretically lives to be 80 or in his late 80s, I mean, that's the way how Russia is. Through Joseph Stalin, Vladimir Lenin, all of that. It's just a country about power and conquest. Even before the communist revolution in Russia, the Tsars and the Russian royal family, they had colonies and stuff all over Europe, and they legit tried to take over the world. I mean, it didn't happen, and obviously what happened is the Tsar abdicated and he got killed, but that's just how Russia is. It's been like that for over 80 years, and it's likely never going to change. It's just that country that's like that.
You know, gentlemen.
Do any of you see?
Go ahead, man. Who said that?
Go ahead, David.
Go ahead. Well, the one thing I think before we close the show, we got 5 minutes to go. One of the things that is disturbing to me, and I just want to bring it up to get your opinion of it, is Ukraine is not letting minorities, no matter who they are, Asians, Africans, or anything, to get out of the country. They're keeping them there. They're letting you have to be Ukrainian to take a plane or a bus or something to get out of the country. You can't cross the border if you're a foreigner. This, to me, is crazy as I don't know what, but even Asians from China and everything are not allowed. Africans who live in their big population of both, and the Ukrainian government said they are not allowed to travel, to leave. So Ukraine is putting itself in a position that is a little strange. Somebody was about to say something.
But they're playing it, David. I think I heard you say on whether they're Ukrainian citizens or not. Not their race, their color, their religion, or anything, right?
They said
no. It's racism.
You have to be Ukrainian native to leave the country. If you're not Ukrainian, you cannot leave the country. So, at the border, I know that there are professors who are citizens who were turned away, doctors who were turned away, but they were African, so they were told they could not leave the country.
Who is turning them away? Ukraine or Poland?
Yes, the Ukrainian government. Because there's so many people trying to get out that they are only letting them out first, or letting them out right now.
1.5 million, David.
You could say that
what
about
do
all
with the
non-fighting age males. They don't want any of them to leave, whether they're citizens or not. They want them to stay and fight. That's a mandate by the president of Ukraine.
But there are a lot of females and kids who are not those ages to fight, who are not allowed to leave.
That still doesn't make sense to me.
It doesn't make sense. It's
because you want them to stay and fight. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
I guess I haven't heard
it. And I think that's bad for Ukraine. I think that's really bad because although we all are sympathizing with them, when we see them do stuff like that, it makes us not want to sympathize with them so much. But yeah, I did see that, David. They are not allowing anyone who's their rule is Ukrainian first. If you're not Ukrainian, you can't travel right now. And I think that's just horrible because, like David said, there's doctors and professors who are black and Asians, and they're telling them, no, you can't get on this train to get out of here. You got to stay and fight. I think that's horrible.
Especially when there's 1.5 million people already left.
Yeah.
Were they
saying that Ukrainian life is more important than any other? That's the way I look at it.
I got the impression that if they're citizens, whether they're black or white, professional, whatever, they're treated the same. It's not their skin color that's doing it. It's that if you're, as you said, either a born a Ukrainian or a naturalized Ukrainian. It's not race, skin color, or religion. I haven't heard that. Have you?
Yes,
well,
but
there's a lot of Republicans who don't want to hear that stuff there, Bruce.
Only thing I can say, there's still a very thin line. That's it.
Anyway,
yeah, that is,
you have been listening to the man's voice. Let me bring us to the close. We're about.
That was hilarious.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow.
Let's simplify things, guys. I hope you have a blessed week.
Let's simply simplify things for people sometimes.
And
have a great
week,
everyone.
We don't make it about us. We make it about issues, don't we, gentlemen?
We make it
all
about
right.
people. And we care
well,
about people, not us.
Wow. We have been listening
people
to
the
man's voice. Of course, it's been very good, another show that we had a lot to talk about on all kinds of sides, but we're all brothers and we like each other. For those that are listening and wonder how we get along, we do. We just So join us again next week.
We love
next week, Sunday, 6 o'clock for the man's voice. All right. right, my friends.
All right,
have a great week.
It's all about the you, remember.
That's right. God bless us, one and all.
See how about those week. Wolverines? They're crying now.
Yeah, they are.